showed off her tattoos, the phases of the moon on her bicep, a key wrapped in hemlock on her left forearm, an exquisite dagger on her right hip, and Hecate's wheel on her left upper arm. Her thick black hair was piled on top of her head. She had a bottle of wine in hand and two empty glasses waiting. "There you are," Lexa said, pinning Persephone with those piercing blue eyes. She indicated to the bottle of wine. "I got your favorite." Persephone smiled. "You're the best. I thought I was going to have to file a missing persons report." Persephone rolled her eyes. "I'm only 30 minutes late." "And not answering your phone," Lexa pointed out. She'd been so distracted trying to get out of the Acropolis and make it home unnoticed, she hadn't even bothered to retrieve her phone from her purse. She did so now, and found four missed calls and several texts from Lexa. Her best friend had started by asking if she was on her way, if she was okay, and then resorted to sending random emojis just to get her attention. "If you really thought I was in trouble, I doubt you'd have sent me a million emojis." Lexa smirked as she uncorked the wine. "Or I cleverly thought to annoy your kidnapper." Persephone took a seat opposite Lexa at the kitchen bar and sipped her wine. It was a rich and flavorful Cabernet, and it instantly took the edge off her nerves. "Seriously, though, you can't be too careful. You're famous now." "I'm not famous, Lex. Did you read any of the news articles I sent you? People are obsessed. Hades is famous, not me." "And you by association," she argued. "You're all anyone at work wanted to talk about today. Who you were, where you were from." Persephone groaned. "You didn't say anything about me, did you?" It was no secret that Lexa was Persephone's best friend.
"You mean that I've known you've been sleeping with Hades for about 6 months and that you're a goddess masquerading as a mortal?"
Lexa's tone was light. "I haven't been sleeping with Hades for 6 months." Persephone felt the need to defend herself. It was Lexa's turn to narrow her eyes.
"Okay, 5 months then."
Persephone glared.
"Look, I'm not blaming you. There are few women who wouldn't jump at the chance to sleep with Hades."
"Thanks for the reminder," Persephone shot back, rolling her eyes.
"It's not like he will. It's his fault your relationship is such big news anyway. As far as the media is concerned, you are his first serious partner."
Except the reality was much different. And while Persephone knew there had been other women in Hades' life, she didn't know the details. She wasn't sure she wanted to. She thought of Minthy and shuddered. Persephone took a sip of her wine. "I want to talk about you. How was your first day?"
"Oh, Persephone," she gushed. "It really is a dream. Did you know the Halcyon Project is projected to treat 5,000 people in its first year?"
She didn't, but that was amazing.
"And Hades gave me a tour and introduced me to everyone."
Persephone couldn't really explain how that made her feel, but it didn't feel good. The best way to explain it was she felt embarrassed. She felt like she should have known Hades was going to be there on Lexa's first day. But the god of the dead hadn't said anything about that this morning when he helped her get ready.
"That was nice of him," she commented distractedly.
"Apparently he does it for every new employee. I mean, I knew Hades wasn't like other gods, but to greet his staff the way he did?"
Lexa shook her head.
"It's just so evident he loves you."
Persephone's gaze rose to meet hers. "Why do you say that?"
"Everywhere I looked today, I could see how he was inspired by you."
Persephone knitted her brows. "What do you mean?" Lexa shrugged.
"It's a little hard to explain. He just uses some of the words you use when he talks about helping people. He talks about hope and forgiveness and second chances."
The more Lexa talked, the more pressure Persephone felt in her chest. Her best friend giggled.
"Then there are the physical things."
Persephone raised a brow, and Lexa burst into laughter.
No, not that. Physical things like pictures.
Pictures? It was Lex's turn to look confused.
Yeah, he had pictures of you in his office. Didn't you know that?
No, she didn't know Hades had an office at the Cypress Foundation, much less pictures of her. Where did he get pictures of her? She didn't have pictures of him. Suddenly, Persephone wasn't interested in talking about this anymore.
Can I ask you something? Lexa said.
Persephone waited and sort of dreaded the question.
You've always wanted notoriety for your work, so what's the problem with all this attention?
Persephone sighed. I want to be respected in my field, she said. Now I just feel like a possession of Hades. Every article is Hades this and Hades that. No one even uses my name. They call me mortal.
They would use your name if they knew you were a goddess, Lexa supplied.
And I would have recognition for my divinity and not my work.
What's so wrong about that? She asked. You might be known for your divinity initially, but it could lead to being known for your work.
Persephone couldn't explain why it was important for her to be known for writing. It just was. She'd spent her whole life being horrible at the one thing she was born to be, and despite that not being her fault, she'd worked really hard in college. She wanted someone to see that hard work, and not just because she wrote about and dated Hades.
If I were you, I'd leave this life without a second thought, Lexa said.
Persephone blanched, surprised. It's way more complicated than that, Lex.
What's so complicated about immortality and wealth and power?
Everything, Persephone wanted to say. Instead, she asked, is it really so wrong to want to live an unassuming mortal life?
No, except that you also want to date Hades, Lexa pointed out.
I can have both, she argued. She'd had both until a few days ago.
That was when Hades was your secret, Lexa said.
And even though she and Hades had neither confirmed nor denied media speculation, she was going to have to reveal her relationship if she wanted to keep her job. Persephone frowned.
Hey, Lexa said, pouring more wine into Persephone's glass. Don't worry about it too much. Pretty soon they'll become obsessed with some other god and some other mortal. Maybe Sybil will decide she actually loves Apollo.
Persephone wasn't so sure about that. The last time they'd talked about it, Sybil had expressed that she wasn't interested in a relationship with the god of music. I'm going to shower, Persephone said. The thought of scalding hot water sounded better and better. She didn't want to feel this day on her skin any longer. Not to mention, she still felt like she was surrounded by trash.
When you're finished, we'll watch a movie, Lexa said.
Persephone took her wine and purse into the bedroom. Dropping her bag on the bed, she moved into the bathroom and turned on the shower. As the water heated, she sipped on her wine before setting the glass aside so she could unzip her dress. She paused when she felt Hades' magic surround her. It was a distinct feeling, a tinge of winter on the air. She closed her eyes and prepared to vanish. It wouldn't be the first time Hades had taken her to the underworld without any notice. But instead, a hand touched beneath her chin and lips closed over hers. He kissed her like they hadn't made love into the early hours of the morning. And when he pulled away, Persephone was breathless, the stress of her day forgotten. Hades' palm was warm against her cheek, and he brushed her lips with his thumb, dark eyes searching.
Troubled, darling.
She narrowed her gaze, suspicious. You followed me today, didn't you? Hades didn't even blink.
Why would you think that?
You insisted Antony take me to work this morning, most likely because you already knew what the media was reporting. Hades shrugged.
I didn't want to worry you.
So you let me walk into a mob? He raised a knowing brow.
Did you walk into that mob?
You were there, she accused. I thought we agreed. No invisibility.
I wasn't,
he answered.
Hermes was.
Damn you, Hermes. She'd forgotten to extract a promise from the god of mischief not to tell Hades about the crowd. He'd probably waltzed into Nevernight with a smile on his face to report what happened.
You could always teleport, Hades offered. Or I can provide an aegis.
I don't want an aegis, she stopped him. And I'd rather not use magic, not in the upper world.
Unless you're exacting revenge?
That's not fair. You know my magic has become more and more unpredictable, and I'm not eager to be exposed as a goddess.
Goddess or not, you are my lover.
She didn't mean to, but she wasn't a fan of that word. She stiffened, and she knew by the way Hades' eyes narrowed, he had noticed. He continued.
It is only a matter of time before someone with a vendetta against me tries to harm you. I will keep you safe.
Persephone shivered. She hadn't thought about that. You really think someone would try to harm me?
Darling, I have judged human nature for a millennium. Yes.
Can't you, I don't know, erase people's memories? Make them forget about all of this? She waved her hand between them.
It is too late for that.
He paused a moment and then asked,
What is so terrible about being known as my lover?
Nothing, she said quickly. It's just that word.
What's wrong with lover?
It sounds so fleeting, like I am nothing but your sex slave. One corner of his lips curled.
What am I to call you, then? You have forbidden the use of my queen and my lady.
Titles make me uncomfortable, she said. She wasn't sure how else to explain why she'd asked him not to call her my queen or my lady, but it added up to the fact that they were two labels she could get used to, and that meant she was setting herself up for potential disappointment. The thoughts made her guilty, but the echoes of the heartbreak she'd experienced while they were separated made her cautious. It's not that I don't want to be known as your lover, but there has to be a better word.
Girlfriend?
Hades supplied. She couldn't suppress the laugh that tore from her throat.
What's wrong with girlfriend? He asked, glowering.
Nothing, she said quickly. It just seems so insignificant. Their relationship was too intense, too passionate, too ancient for her to merely be his girlfriend. But maybe that was just how she felt. The tension eased from Hades' features, and he drew his finger under her chin.
Nothing is ever insignificant when it comes to you, he said.
They stared at each other, and the air was heavy. Persephone itched to reach for him, to bring his lips to hers, to taste him. All she had to do was close the gap between them and they would ignite, fall so deep into their passion nothing would exist beyond their skin. A knock at her door tore her from her thoughts and sent her heart into a frenzy.
Persephone, I'm ordering pizza. Any requests? Lexa called.
She cleared her throat.
No. Whatever you order is fine, she replied through the door. So, pineapple and anchovies. Got it.
Her heart was still hammering in her chest. There was a long pause on the other side of the door, and for a moment, Persephone thought Lexa had left, until she asked, Are you okay? Hades chuckled and leaned in, pressing his lips against her skin. Persephone exhaled, her head rolling back.
Yes.
Another long pause.
Did you even hear what I'm going to order?
Just get cheese, Lexa.
Okay, I'm on it.
Persephone could tell by the tone of her voice she was smiling. Persephone pushed against Hades' chest and met his gaze. You shouldn't laugh.
Why not? I can hear your heart beating. Are you afraid to be caught with your boyfriend?
Persephone rolled her eyes. I think I preferred lover. His laugh was a deep rumble.
You are not easy to please.
It was her turn to smile. I would give you the chance, but I'm afraid I don't have time. Hades' eyes darkened, and his hold on her tightened.
I don't need a lot, he said, hands twining in her dress as if he wished to rip it from her body. I could make you come in seconds. You won't even have to get undressed.
She almost took the bait and challenged him to prove it. But then she remembered how he'd left her in the dining room the day before. And despite returning and making up for it, she wanted to punish him. I'm afraid seconds will not do, she said. I'm owed pleasure. Hours of it.
Allow me to give you a preview, then.
He held her close, his arousal pressing into her softness, but she kept him at a distance, palms pressed against his hard chest. Perhaps later, she offered. He smiled.
I'll take that as a promise.
With that, he vanished. Persephone showered and changed. When she left the room, Lexa was curled up on the couch. Persephone sat beside her, sharing Lexa's blanket and the popcorn. What movie are we watching?
Pyramus and Thisbe, she answered.
It was a movie the pair had watched over and over, an ancient tale about forbidden love retold in modern times. I'm just glad you didn't say Titans After Dark.
Hey, I like that show.
The way they portray the gods is totally inaccurate.
We know, Lexa said. They don't do Hades justice. But if he has a problem with it, tell him it's his own fault. He's the one who refused to be photographed. Well, until recently.
They started the movie, and it opened by introducing the feuding families locked in a war for territory. Pyramus and Thisbe were young and eager for fun. They met at a club, and under those fierce and hypnotic lights, they fell in love, later learning they were sworn enemies. They were in the middle of a tense scene between the families, the one where Thisbe's brother dies, shot and killed by Pyramus. When the doorbell rang, surprising Persephone and Lexa, they exchanged a look.
It's probably the pizza guy, Lexa said.
I'll get it. Persephone was already throwing off the blanket. Pause the movie.
You've seen this 100 times.
Pause it, she threatened playfully, or I'll turn you into Basil. Lexa cackled, but paused the movie.
That actually might be cool.
Persephone opened the door. Sybil! She smiled wide, but excitement quickly gave way to suspicion. Something was wrong. Even dressed in pajamas and sporting a topknot, the blonde was a beauty. She stood under the pallid porch light, looking exhausted and like she'd been crying. Mascara streaked down her face.
Can I come in?
It sounded like she had something stuck in her throat.
Yeah, of course. Is it the pizza?
Lexa called, walking into view.
Sybil!
That was when the girl burst into tears. Lexa and Persephone exchanged a look and quickly wrapped their arms around her as she sobbed.
It's okay, Persephone whispered, attempting to soothe her.
She thought she could sense Sybil's pain and confusion, something she had never perceived in another person before. The emotions were like shadows grazing her skin, flutters of sadness, strikes of jealousy, and an endless cold. Strange, Persephone thought. She pushed the feelings down, quashing them to focus on Sybil. The three stood like that for a while, embracing one another in a tight circle, until Sybil began to collect herself. Lexa was the first to break form and poured Sybil a glass of wine while Persephone directed her to the living room and gave her a box of tissues.
I'm so sorry, she finally managed to say, accepting the wine with shaking hands. I had no other place to go.
You're always welcome, Persephone said.
What happened? Lexa asked.
Her mouth quivered, and it took her a few moments to speak.
I'm not an oracle anymore.
What? Lexa asked. How can you not be an oracle anymore?
Sybil had been born with certain prophetic gifts, including divination and prophecy. Persephone also knew that Sybil could see the threads of fate, which she had referred to as colors when she'd told Persephone she and Hades were meant to be together. Sybil cleared her throat and took a deep breath, but even as she spoke, her voice broke.
I told myself I wouldn't cry over this anymore.
Sybil, Persephone reached for her hand.
Apollo fired me and took my gift of prophecy away, she explained.
She laughed humorlessly, wiping her eyes as more tears slid down her cheeks.
Turns out you can't continue to reject a god without consequences.
Persephone couldn't believe what she was hearing. She recalled Sybil's comments about her relationship with Apollo. Everyone, even her close friends Ceres and Aero, had assumed they were lovers. But Sybil had told her and Lexa that she wasn't interested in a relationship with the god of the music.
He wanted more from me than friendship, and I refused. I'd heard about his previous relationships. All of them ended in disaster. Daphne, Cassandra, Hyakinthos.
Let me get this straight, Persephone said. This godchild got a little pissy because you wouldn't date him and took your power away? Shh! Sybil looked around, clearly afraid Apollo would appear and smite them.
You can't say things like that, Persephone.
She shrugged. Let him try to take revenge.
You are fearless because you have Hades, she said. But you forget. Gods have a habit of punishing those you care for most.
Sybil's words made her frown, and she suddenly felt less confident.
So you don't have a job anymore? Lexa asked.
Because of her gift, Sybil had been enrolled at the College of the Divine. There, she'd learned to hone her power and had been chosen by Apollo specifically to become his public relations manager. Without her gift, the job Sybil had spent the last 4 years training for was not attainable. Even if she had retained her powers, Persephone wasn't sure anyone would hire a disgraced oracle, especially one Apollo had fired. Apollo was the golden god. He'd been named Delphi Divine's God of the Year 7 years in a row, only losing the title once after Zeus struck the magazine's building with lightning in protest.
He can't do that, Persephone exploded. She didn't care how beloved the god of music was. He didn't deserve that respect if he punished people just because they didn't want to date him.
He can do anything, Sybil said. He's a god.
That doesn't make it right, she argued.
Right, wrong, fair, unfair. It's not really the world we live in, Persephone. The gods punish.
Those words made Persephone shudder. And the worst part was, she knew it was true. The gods used mortals as their playthings and cast them aside when they got angry or bored. Life was nothing to them because they had eternity.
I wouldn't even mind being fired, but who will hire me now?
Sybil said, her voice desolate.
I just don't know what to do. I can't go home. My mother and father disowned me when I applied for the College of the Divine.
You can work with me, Lexa offered, looking at Persephone as if to say, can't she?
I'll ask Hades, Persephone promised. I'm sure they can use more help at the Foundation.
And you can stay with us, Lexa added, until you are on your feet again.
Sybil looked skeptical.
I don't want to inconvenience you,
Lexa scoffed.
You would not be an inconvenience. You can keep me company while Persephone's in the underworld. Hell, you can probably have her room. It's not like she's here most nights anyway.
Persephone gave Lexa a playful push, and Sybil laughed.
I don't want your room.
You might as well crash there. Lexa's not wrong.
Of course I'm not wrong. If I was sleeping with Hades, I wouldn't be in my room either.
Persephone reached for a pillow and smacked Lexa. It was the wrong thing to do. Lexa shrieked like a banshee and reached for a cushion, swinging wildly. Persephone dodged the blow, which left Sybil to take the brunt of it. Lexa dropped the pillow.
Oh, my gods, Sybil, I am so sorry.
But Sybil took up a pillow, too, and smashed it into the side of Lexa's face. It wasn't long before the three were locked in battle, chasing one another around the living room, delivering and taking hits until they collapsed in a heap on the couch, breathless and giggling. Even Sybil seemed to be enjoying herself, the last few hours of her life momentarily forgotten. She sighed and said, "I wish all days were this happy."
"They will be," said Lexa. "You live with us now."
By the time the pillows were returned to their place, the pizza had arrived. The delivery guy apologized profusely and explained that traffic had been backed up due to protests.
"Protests?" Persephone asked.
"It's the impious," he said, "protesting the upcoming Panhellenic Games."
"Oh."
The impious were a group of mortals who rejected the gods, choosing fairness, free will, and freedom over worship and sacrifice. Persephone wasn't all that surprised that they'd showed up to protest the games, but it was kind of unexpected, given that the impious had kept a low profile for the last few years. She really hoped they stuck to peaceful protesting and didn't escalate. A lot of people would be out and about for the festivities, Persephone, Lexa, and Sybil included. The girls settled down to finish their movie, ate pizza, and kept their distance from topics that involved Apollo. Though that didn't keep Persephone from trying to figure out how to help Sybil. Apollo's actions were unacceptable. And didn't she have an obligation to her readers to expose injustice, especially when it came to the gods? And maybe, if the story was good enough, she wouldn't need to write that exclusive. Hours later, Persephone was still awake and unable to move. Sybil's head rested in her lap, and Lexa snored, fast asleep on the couch opposite them. After a moment, Sybil shifted and spoke in a sleepy whisper.
"Persephone, I want you to promise me you won't write about Apollo."
Persephone froze for a moment, holding her breath.
"Why not?"
"Because Apollo isn't Hades," she answered. "He didn't care what people thought and was willing to listen to you. That's not Apollo. Apollo covets his reputation. It's as important to him as music."
"Then he shouldn't have punished you," Persephone answered.
She felt Sybil's hands curl into the blanket around them.
"I'm asking you to not fight in my name. Promise."
Persephone didn't respond. The problem was she was asking for a promise, and when a god promised, it was binding, unbreakable. It didn't matter that Sybil didn't know of Persephone's divinity. She couldn't do it. After a moment, Sybil looked up, meeting her gaze.
"Persephone?"
"I don't make promises, Sybil." The oracle frowned.
"I was afraid you'd say that."
Chapter 4, A Touch of Warning.
Persephone lay awake, listening to Lexa's shallow snoring and Sybil's wheezing breath. It was 3 a.m, and she had to be up in 4 hours. But she couldn't stop thinking about everything that had happened today. She considered the pros and cons of writing the exclusive Dimitri and Kahl wanted. She supposed it was one way to control the information she released, except that she was being forced to offer up details of her personal life. Worse, they'd taken the choice away from her, and she hated that. But could she give up her dream job? She'd come to New Athens with dreams of freedom, success, and adventure. She'd had a taste of each, and just when she'd shook the chains of her mother's custody, she found herself shackled with another restraint. Would the cycle never end? Then there was Sybil. Persephone couldn't let Apollo get away with his treatment of the oracle. She couldn't understand why Sybil didn't want her to write about the god of music. He needed to answer for his behavior. There was also a part of her that hoped an article about Apollo meant Dimitri and Kahl would be less interested in the story of her relationship with Hades. Persephone sighed. Her head was so full of thoughts, words piled up so high it felt like they were pushing against her skull. She stood quietly and teleported to the underworld, slipping into Hades' bedchamber. If anyone was going to ease the tension in her head, it was the god of the dead. She hadn't expected to find him asleep. She'd begun to suspect he rarely did, except when she was around. He lay partially covered by silk sheets, his muscled chest contoured from the firelight of the hearth. His arms were over his head, as if he'd fallen asleep stretching. She reached to touch his face, and was surprised when his hand bit down on her wrist. She yelped, more from fear than pain. Hades opened his eyes. "Fuck," he cursed. Sitting up lightning fast, he lessened his hold on her wrist and drew her to him. "Did I hurt you?" She would have answered, but he was pressing kisses to her skin, and each one sent a shock through her body.
"Persephone?"
He stared up at her, a myriad of emotions clouding his face. It was almost like he was despondent, his breath shallow and his brows drawn together. She smiled, pushing a piece of hair from his face. "I'm fine, Hades. You only scared me." He kissed her palm and held her tight against him as he laid down.
"I did not think you would come to me tonight."
She rested her head on his chest. He was warm and solid and right. "I can't sleep without you," she admitted, feeling completely ridiculous, but it was true. Hades' palms soothed, running up and down her back. Now and then he paused to squeeze her bottom. She wiggled against him, his erection growing harder between them.
"That is because I keep you up so late."
She sat up, straddling him, and laced her fingers through his. "Not everything is about sex, Hades."
"No one said anything about sex, Persephone," he pointed out.
She raised a brow and rolled her hips. "I don't need words to know you're thinking about sex." He chuckled, and his hands moved to her breasts. Her breath caught in her throat, and her fingers curled around his wrists like shackles. "I want to talk, Hades." He arched a perfect brow.
"Talk," he said. "I can multitask. Or have you forgotten?"
He rose into a sitting position and captured a nipple between his teeth, teasing her through her shirt. She wanted to give in and let him explore. Her hands, traitorous hands, slid around his neck and tangled into his hair. He smelled like warm spice, and she could practically taste his tongue, flavored with whiskey. "I don't think you can multitask this time," she said. "I know that look." Hades pulled away long enough to ask,
"What look?"
She took his head between her hands. She thought to keep him from distracting her with his mouth, but his hands were moving under her shirt, over her skin, making her shiver. "That look," she said, as if it explained everything. "The one you have now. Your eyes are dark, but there's something alive behind them. Sometimes I think it's passion, sometimes I think it's violence. Sometimes I think it's all of your lifetimes." His eyes glittered, and his hands fell to her thighs. "Hades," she hissed his name, and he covered her mouth with his, shifting so that she was beneath him. His tongue slipped into her mouth. She'd been right about how he would taste, smoky and sweet. She wanted more, and twined her arms around his shoulders and her legs around his waist. His lips left hers to explore the contours of her neck and breasts. Persephone tightened her hold around his waist to keep him from shifting lower. "Hades," she breathed. "I said I wanted to talk."
"Talk," he said again.
"About Apollo," she breathed. Hades froze, and he growled. It was an unnatural sound, and it sent a shiver down her spine. He pulled away completely, no longer touching her.
"Tell me why the name of my nephew is upon your lips."
"He's my next project." Hades blinked, and she was certain she saw violence in his eyes. She hurried to continue. "He fired Sybil, Hades, for refusing to be his lover." He stared, and his silence was angry. His lips were set tight, and a vein pulsed in his forehead. He left the bed completely naked. For a moment, she watched him walk away, well-muscled ass and all. "Where are you going?" she demanded.
"I can't stay in our bed while you talk about Apollo."
She didn't miss that he had called his bed our bed. That made her feel warm inside, except that she'd fucked it up by mentioning Apollo. She scrambled after him. "I'm only talking about him because I want to help Sybil." Hades poured himself a drink. "What he's doing is wrong, Hades. Apollo can't punish Sybil because she rejected him."
"Apparently he can,"
Hades said, taking a slow sip from his glass. "He has taken away her livelihood. She has nothing and will have nothing unless Apollo is exposed." Hades drained his glass and poured another. After a stretch of tense silence, he said,
"You cannot write about Apollo, Persephone."
"I've told you before, you can't tell me who to write about, Hades." The god of the underworld sat his glass down with an audible click.
"Then you should not have told me your plans," he said.
She guessed his next thought.
"You shouldn't have mentioned Apollo in my bedchamber, either."
His words fueled her anger, and she felt her power moving in her veins. "He won't get away with this, Hades." She didn't add that she really needed this story, that it would provide a diversion for what her boss really wanted, a story about them. Hades must have sensed the change in her power, because when he spoke again, his words were careful and calm.
"I'm not disagreeing with you, but you aren't going to be the one to serve justice, Persephone."
"Who, if not me? No one else is willing to challenge him. The public adores him." She didn't understand how they could love Apollo and fear Hades.
"All the more reason for you to be strategic,"
Hades reasoned.
"There are other ways to have your justice."
Persephone wasn't sure she liked what Hades was insinuating. She glared at him. "What are you so afraid of? I wrote about you, and look at the good that came out of it."
"I am a reasonable god," he said. "Not to mention, you intrigued me. I do not want Apollo intrigued by you."
Persephone didn't care if Apollo became intrigued by her or not. The god of music wouldn't get anywhere with her. "You know I'll be careful," she said. "Besides, would Apollo really mess with what's yours?" Hades' lips thinned, and he held out his hand for her to take.
"Come," he said, sitting in a chair before the fire.
She approached as if his words were magnetic and she were steel. Hades' fingers wrapped around hers, and he pulled her to him, her knees on either side of his thighs. Every curve melded to his hard frame. She kept his dark gaze as he spoke.
"You do not understand the divine. I cannot protect you from another god. It is a fight you would have to win on your own."
Persephone's confidence wavered. There were a lot of rules that bound gods, promises and contracts and favors, and they all had one thing in common. They were unbreakable. "Are you saying you wouldn't fight for me?" Hades sighed and brushed his finger along her cheek.
"Darling, I would burn this world for you."
He kissed her fiercely, violently, leaving her lips raw. When he broke away, she was breathless, and his hands were pressed so firmly into her skin, it was like he was holding her bones.
"I am begging you, do not write about the god of music."
She found herself nodding, transfixed by the vulnerable look in Hades' dark eyes. He hadn't been near as desperate to stop her from writing about himself. "But what about Sybil?" she asked. "If I do not expose him, who will help her?" Hades' eyes softened.
"You cannot save everyone, my darling."
"I'm not trying to save everyone, just the ones who are wronged by the gods." He studied her for a moment, and then brushed a piece of her hair from her face.
"This world does not deserve you."
"Yes, they do," she answered.
Everyone deserves compassion, Hades, even in death.
But you are not talking about compassion,
he said, his thumb brushing her cheek.
You are hoping to rescue mortals from the punishment of gods. It is as vain as promising to bring the dead back to life.
Because you have deemed it so, she argued. Hades looked away, clenching his jaw. She had obviously struck a chord. Guilt made her stomach turn. She knew she was being unfair. The underworld had rules and a balance of power she didn't completely understand. She hadn't meant to upset him, but she really wanted change. She reached for him, guiding his eyes back to hers.
I won't write about Apollo, she said.
He relaxed a little, but his face was still hard.
I know you wish for justice, but trust me on this, Persephone.
I trust you. His expression was blank, and it felt a little like he didn't believe her. That thought was fleeting as he lifted her into his arms, holding her gaze and moving toward the bed. He sat her on the edge, helped her out of her clothes, and guided her to her back. He knelt between her legs, and his mouth descended, lapping at the tight bundle of nerves at the apex of her thighs. Persephone arched off the bed, her head digging into the mattress, her hands tangling in the sea of sheets around her. She struggled to catch her breath. Hades! Her cries seemed to have no effect on him as he kept his languorous, torturous pace. Soon his fingers parted her hot flesh, joining his tongue. He stroked and stretched her, moving in tandem with her breathing until she found release. When he was finished, he sat back on his heels, brought his fingers to his lips, and sucked them clean.
You are my favorite flavor, he said. I could drink from you all day.
Hades gripped her hips and pulled her toward him, sliding into her in one slick thrust. She felt him in her blood and bones and soul. The friction built inside her, and soon her moans turned to screams.
Say my name,
Hades growled. Persephone clutched the silk beneath her. The sheet stuck to her skin, her body warm with perspiration.
Say it,
he commanded. Hades, she gasped.
Again.
Hades.
Pray to me, he commanded. Beg me to make you come.
Hades. She was out of breath, her words barely formed. Please.
He thrust.
Please what?
Thrust. Make me come.
Thrust.
Do it, she screamed. They came together, and Hades collapsed on top of her, kissing her deeply, the taste of her still on his lips. After a moment, he gathered her into his arms and teleported to the baths where they showered and worshipped one another again. With an hour to spare before she had to be up, Persephone laid down to rest. Hades stretched out beside her, holding her close.
Persephone,
Hades spoke, the scruff of his beard tickling her ear. She was too tired to use words, eyes heavy with sleep.
Speak another's name in this bed again, and know you have assigned their soul to Tartarus.
She opened her eyes. She wanted to look at him, to see the violence in his gaze and chase it. Why had this upset him so much? Did the god of the underworld, rich one, receiver of many, fear Apollo? After his warning, Hades relaxed, his breath growing even and calm. Reluctant to disturb his peace, she snuggled close and fell asleep. Chapter 5. Royal Treatment. Persephone relayed the disastrous conversation she'd had with Hades to Lexa at lunch the next day. They'd chosen a booth at the back of their favorite cafe, the Yellow Daffodil, that gave them relative privacy. Despite the roar of the restaurant, Persephone felt paranoid talking about Hades in public. She leaned over the table toward Lexa, whispering, I've never seen him so
unyielding, so obstinate. He was usually willing to at least hear her out. But from the moment Apollo's name had left her mouth, Hades had been finished with the conversation.
"Hades has a point,"
Lexa said, leaning back in her chair, crossing her legs. Persephone looked at her best friend, surprised she would side with the god of the dead.
"I mean, do you really think you can touch Apollo's reputation? He's the golden boy of New Athens.
An honor he doesn't deserve, considering how he treats the men and women he loves."
"But what if people don't believe you, Persephone?"
"I can't worry about whether or not people will believe me, Lex." The thought that Apollo's victims would be ignored because of his popularity infuriated her. But what enraged her more was that she knew Lexa was right. There was a chance no one would believe her.
"I know. I'm just saying, it might not play out like you think."
Persephone frowned, confused by her friend's words. "And what do I think?" Lexa twisted her fingers together on the table in front of her and shrugged, finally lifting her gaze to Persephone's. Her eyes looked more vivid today, probably due to the smoky shadow she wore.
"I don't know. I mean, you are literally hoping for reason from a god who can't take rejection. It's like you think you can magically change Apollo's behavior with some words."
Persephone flinched and noticed that Lexa's eyes shifted to Persephone's shoulder. In her peripheral, she saw green. And when she looked, a thread of vines had sprouted out of her skin. Persephone clapped a hand over them. Of all the times her magic had responded to her emotions, it had never manifested like this. She pulled the vines free, and blood spilled down her arm.
"Oh my gods!"
Lexa shoved a wad of napkins into her hands, and Persephone pressed them against her shoulder.
"Are you okay?"
"I'm fine."
"Has this ever happened before?"
"No," she said, peeling back the napkins to look at the wound the vines left behind. The gash was small, like she'd been scratched by a thorn, and the bleeding minimal.
"Is that a goddess thing?" Lexa asked.
"I don't know." She'd never seen her mother's powers manifest this way, or Hades, for that matter. Maybe it was just another example of how terrible she was at being a goddess.
"Will you tell Hades?"
The question surprised Persephone, and her gaze shot to Lexa's. "Why would I tell him?" She listed the reasons.
"Because it's never happened to you before? Because it looks painful? Because it might have something to do with being the goddess of spring?"
"Or it's nothing," Persephone said quickly. "Don't worry about it, Lex." A bead of silence passed between them before Lexa reached a hand across the table to draw Persephone's attention.
"You know, I'm just worried about you, right?"
The goddess of spring sighed. "I know. Thank you." There was more silence, and then Lexa shrugged.
"I guess none of this really matters. You already promised Hades you wouldn't write about Apollo, right?"
Persephone was reluctant to meet Lexa's gaze.
"Persephone, what about Sybil? Are we just supposed to let her suffer?" Persephone asked.
"No, we're supposed to be her friends," Lexa said.
"Which means I should do everything in my power to ensure Apollo is exposed."
"It means you should do what Sybil wants you to do."
Persephone frowned. Sybil wanted Persephone to leave this situation alone, but silence was part of the problem. How many people had been hurt by Apollo and not spoken up?
"Are all the divine wired for revenge?"
Lexa posed the question offhanded as if she were asking it rhetorically, but it didn't sit well with Persephone. "What do you mean?" Lexa shrugged.
"You all want to punish. Apollo wants to punish his lovers, so you want to punish him, and he will probably punish you for that. It's insanity."
"I don't want to punish him," she said defensively. Lexa raised a brow.
"I don't. I want people to know they shouldn't trust him."
"Just like you wanted people to know not to trust Hades?"
"That's different." It was true Persephone had started her series on Hades with the intention of exposing his unfair bargains with mortals. Over time, however, she'd learned his intentions were far more honorable than she'd originally assumed. Lexa sighed.
Maybe, but isn't that what Hades was telling you? Apollo is willing to punish without a second thought.
Persephone averted her gaze, frustrated, and Lexa's outstretched hand covered her own.
I just want you to be careful. I know Hades will protect you, but I also know how hard it is for you to ask for help.
Persephone managed a small smile. She knew Lexa was only speaking out of concern for her, but her best friend didn't know the whole story. She still hadn't told her about her boss's ultimatum. She felt like she was in a bargain with Hades again, faced with losing two things she valued most. Perhaps if she explained, Lexa would understand. But as she started to speak, they were interrupted by a stranger.
You're Hades' girlfriend, aren't you?
The voice startled them, and the question made Persephone cringe. A young woman had appeared beside their table. She wore a long shirt, tights, and boots. Her phone was in hand, and she was pulling at the elastic, holding her hair in a topknot.
Can I get a picture?
The girl asked as she fluffed her hair and smoothed it over her shoulder.
Sorry, no, Persephone said. I'm having lunch.
It'll just take a second.
She leaned in to take a selfie, her camera on. Persephone shifted away, holding out her hands to stop the girl.
I said no. Just one, the girl attempted to bargain. What about no, don't you understand? Persephone asked.
The girl straightened and blinked at Persephone. Then her eyes narrowed.
You don't have to be a bitch. It's just a picture.
The girl lifted her phone and snapped a photo. Her outburst had drawn attention, and as Persephone watched her storm off, she noticed several customers had their phones pointed in her direction. She covered her face with her hand. Lexa leaned across the table.
This would be a great time to use your powers for nefarious reasons.
Didn't you just criticize my use of magic for punishment?
Yeah, but she deserves it. She was an asshole.
I think it's time to go, Persephone said, reaching for her purse. They left money on the table to cover their bill. Lexa looped her arm through Persephone's as they exited the cafe. The sidewalks were teeming with employees returning to work, tourists, and street vendors. It was a hot but cloudy day, and the air smelled like roasting chestnuts, cigarettes, and coffee.
Do you have time to stop by the office? Lexa asked. I can give you a tour.
Persephone checked her watch. She still had 30 minutes before she had to be back at the Acropolis.
I'd love that.
She wanted to see where Lexa worked. And, if she were being honest, explore. She'd felt embarrassed when Lexa had listed off facts about the Halcyon Project, none of which she knew. Lexa officed out of a building called Alexandria Tower. It was the opposite of Nevernight, with an all-glass and white marble exterior. Lexa held the door open for Persephone. Like every place Hades occupied, the interior was luxurious. The floors were veined marble, the receptionist's desk a pool of black obsidian, and gold accents sparked amid the dark furniture. Persephone felt right at home. A nymph seated behind the reception desk stood quickly. Like all her kind, she was beautiful, all sharp angles and wide eyes. She was a woodland nymph, a dryad, evident by her almond-colored hair, mossy eyes, and the faint green tinge to her skin. These were the nymphs Persephone had spent the most time with growing up in the greenhouse. She'd never considered it before, but now she wondered if they were just as much prisoners of her mother as she was.
Lady Persephone, the woman at the desk bowed, you honor us with your presence.
Lexa giggled, and Persephone blushed.
I've brought Persephone for a tour, Ivy.
The dryad's eyes widened, and Persephone got the impression she didn't like being surprised.
Oh, of course, Lady Persephone. First, can I get you anything? A glass of champagne or wine, perhaps?
Oh, no, thank you, Ivy. I have to return to work after this.
Let me make a few calls, she said. I'd prefer everything to be perfect when you go up.
It's all right, Ivy, Lexa said with a playful laugh. Persephone doesn't care.
The dryad paled. Several months ago, this behavior would have made Persephone uncomfortable. It still gave her anxiety, but she recognized it for what it was, a servant of Hades wishing to please. And Persephone didn't want to keep her from that, so she stepped in. "Take your time, Ivy," Persephone said. "In the interim, a water would be nice." The dryad smiled.
"Right away, my lady."
Persephone took a few steps away from the desk and swept the room. She loved the character of the building. It wasn't as modern as Nevernight, boasting antique accents like glass doorknobs, gold heating grates, and a radiator. A formal seating area was arranged in front of a set of large windows that overlooked the street. Persephone paused in front of it, admiring the busy cityscape on the other side.
"I thought you weren't thirsty," said Lexa as she joined her by the window.
Persephone smiled and said, "You can never have enough water."
"Really, what was that? I could have had this tour underway."
The goddess sighed. "I've learned a few things since being in the underworld, Lex. You see me as your best friend, so bringing me here means nothing but a bit of fun for you. But these people, they see me differently."
"You mean they see you as the queen of the underworld?"
She shrugged. That was definitely true of the residents of the underworld. "They serve Hades, and no matter how much I argue, they seem to think they serve me by association." More than likely because they were ordered to, she thought. "Being of service pleases them. The more I fight it, the more I offend, I think."
"Hmm,"
Lexa said after a moment, and when Persephone looked at her friend, she found her smiling mischievously.
"What?"
Persephone asked, skeptical.
"Nothing, Queen Persephone."
Persephone rolled her eyes, and Lexa laughed, turning away from the window. Ivy intercepted them, carrying a silver tray with two glasses of water.
"Today's flavor is cucumber and ginger."
Persephone took the glass and a napkin. She knew the dryad would be eager to know if she liked the drink, so she sipped it immediately.
"Hmm, very refreshing, Ivy, thank you."
The nymph beamed and then handed Lexa a glass. Ivy disappeared once more, and when she returned, she was still smiling, as if she were on a high.
"They're ready for you, Lady Persephone, Lexa."
Persephone's stomach was suddenly in knots. She'd been able to handle this one interaction well, but would she do as well with more?
"Finally," Lexa said unceremoniously.
As they ascended the stairs to the second floor, Persephone turned back to Ivy. "Thank you, Ivy. I appreciate everything." She didn't look long enough to register the nymph's reaction as she followed Lexa up the stairs. What they found when they got there stopped them in their tracks. The hall was lined on either side with employees who had stepped out of their glass offices to greet Persephone. There was also a man taking photos.
"Lady Persephone, it is an honor,"
a woman approached. She was mortal and had a crown of black curls. She shook Persephone's hand.
"I'm Katerina, director of the Cyprus Foundation."
"It's a pleasure to meet you," Persephone said.
"Please allow me to tell you a few things about our progress. I'm sure you will be pleased."
Persephone exchanged a look with Lexa. Her lips were pinched together and her jaw clenched. This wasn't what her friend had imagined when she'd suggested a tour. Persephone tried to ignore the sudden guilt that came with this whole experience. All Lexa had wanted to do was show off her new workplace, neither of them expecting to be treated this way. They'd have been better off coming here after hours. Katerina narrated their walk, quoting some facts that Lexa had already shared. It was clear she had an elevator speech prepared for all situations.
"We were very excited when the Halcyon project was announced," Katerina said. "We've worked on several initiatives with Lord Hades, but never something quite like this."
"Other projects?" Persephone prompted. This was news to her. Katerina smiled. She seemed genuinely excited to have communicated something Persephone was unaware of, and explained,
"The Halcyon project is just one of many initiatives under the Cyprus Foundation."
"Tell me more."
"Well, there's Cerberus House, a nonprofit for animals. The organization has founded 14 no-kill animal shelters in New Greece and pays for pet adoption fees.
We're very excited to be opening a 15th location in Argos. There's also the Safe Haven Project, which helps families pay for funeral and burial costs. So far, we've aided over 300 families in their time of need.
Persephone was speechless, and yet the woman kept going.
Lord Hades' longest-running charity is Chariot, a fund that provides training for therapy dogs for children in need.
She swallowed a lump in her throat. That's amazing. Her feelings were all over the place. She felt awe that Hades had started so many wonderful organizations, but frustrated and embarrassed that she didn't know about any of them. Why hadn't he told her? Why hadn't she stumbled across any of this during her research of the God of the Dead? Gods, she looked like such a jerk, having written such slander about him. Maybe that's why so many of these people were eager to tell her about all his accomplishments, to further prove her wrong. Damn his humbleness. The tour continued a little while longer, and several introductions were made. Persephone met the people behind each of Hades' charity initiatives. At the end, Katerina turned and said, "If there's nothing else, I'd be happy to escort you downstairs, my lady."
"What about Hades' office?"
Luckily, Lexa intervened. "I'll take it from here, Katerina. Persephone and I need to finalize some plans anyway."
"Oh, thank you so much, Katerina," Persephone said before the woman could protest. "I'm very excited to tell Hades how wonderful you've been."
That worked like a charm. Katerina smiled and gave a very flustered, "Why, thank you so much, Lady Persephone."
When they were alone, Lexa leaned forward.
"You want to see Hades' office?
You know it."
They giggled like schoolgirls as Lexa led her up a third flight of stairs. This floor was all dedicated office space, and Persephone and Lexa wound their way through a set of cubicles before reaching a row of offices at the back of the building.
"Here it is," Lexa said, gesturing to the space with her arms spread wide as she stepped inside. It was a glass box. Persephone hesitated at the door. It reminded her of her mother's home, and for a moment, she had the strange feeling that this was all a well-orchestrated trap. Hades' desk sat before a lead-detailed window that made it appear like he was sitting upon a throne while he was at his desk. It was over the top and intimidating, and she would bet money he used this desk less than the one in his office at Nevernight. She stepped inside just as someone called for Lexa.
"Crap," she looked at Persephone. "I'll be right back."
Persephone nodded as her best friend disappeared. Her eyes dropped to Hades' desk. There were only two things on it, a vase of white narcissus and a picture of her. It was snapped in the underworld in one of Hades' gardens. She picked it up, wondering when he had taken it.
"Curious?"
Persephone jumped, dropping the frame. Before it could hit the ground, Hades caught it and returned it to its place. The goddess twisted toward him, bracing a hand on the desk. How did someone with such mass move so quickly, she thought. He stood close, his scent hitting her hard. And she was reminded of last night when he'd taken her to bed, claimed her, marked her, possessed her. She hadn't expected a simple conversation about Apollo to set him off, but it had, in ways she'd never imagined.
"How long have you been here?" she breathed.
One of Hades' powers was invisibility. It was possible he'd been in this office the whole time, even more likely that he'd followed along on the tour without any of them knowing.
"Always suspicious," he said.
"Hades," she warned.
"Not long," he said. "I received a frantic call from Ivy, who chastised me for not letting her know you were stopping by."
Persephone's brows drew together. "You have a phone?"
"For work, yes," he said.
"Why didn't I know that?"
He shrugged.
"If I want you, I will find you."
Still, Persephone didn't feel like that was a good enough reason for her to not know he had a phone, or the million other things she didn't know about her lover.
"You are displeased," Hades said, and it wasn't a question.
Persephone's gaze lifted to his again. "You embarrassed me."
It was Hades' turn to frown, and his eyes softened.
Explain.
I should not have to learn about all your charities through someone else, she said. I feel like everyone around me knows more about you than I do.
You never asked, he said.
Some things can be brought up casually, Hades. At dinner, for instance. Hi, honey. How was your day? Mine was good. The billion-dollar charities I own help kids and dogs and humanity. Hades was trying not to smile. Don't you dare, she pressed a finger to his lips. I am serious about this. If you wish for me to be seen as more than a lover, then I need more from you. History, an inventory of your life, something. Hades' eyes darkened, and he closed his fingers around Persephone's wrist. He kissed her fingers.
I'm sorry, he said. It did not occur to me to tell you. I have existed so long alone, made every decision alone. I am not used to sharing anything with anyone.
Persephone's gaze softened, and she pressed her palm to his face. Hades, you were never alone, and you certainly aren't alone now. She pulled her hand away. Now, what else do you own?
Lots of morgues, he said.
Persephone's eyes widened. You're serious?
I am the god of the dead, he said.
She couldn't help it. She smiled. Their gazes held for a moment. And then Hades prompted in a deep, sultry voice.
Tell me, what else can I share with you now?
Persephone glanced at the picture on his desk. Where did you get this? His eyes followed, and she knew it wasn't because he had to be reminded about the picture. He was taking his time answering.
I took it.
When?
Obviously, when you weren't looking,
he said, and she rolled her eyes at his humor. Why do you have pictures of me, and I do not have pictures of you? His eyes glittered.
I did not know you wanted pictures of me.
She scoffed. Of course I want pictures of you.
I may be able to oblige. What kind of pictures do you want?
She swatted his shoulder. You are insatiable.
And you are to blame, my queen, he said,
and his lips traveled down her neck and along her shoulder.
I'm glad you were here.
I couldn't tell, she replied, shivering.
I've wanted to pleasure you in this room, on this desk, since I met you. It will be the most productive thing that happens here.
His words were flames, and they ignited her. She swallowed thickly. You have glass walls, Hades.
Are you trying to deter me?
She narrowed her eyes and teased. Exhibitionist?
Hardly.
He leaned a little closer, and she felt his breath on her lips.
Do you really think I would let them see you? I am too selfish. Smoke and mirrors, Persephone.
She leaned into his heat. Then take me, she whispered. Hades growled and snaked an arm around her waist. When someone cleared their throat, they turned to find Lexa standing in the doorway.
Hey, Hades, she said with a smile on her face. Hope you don't mind. I brought Persephone for a tour.
Hi, Lexa, he said, smirking. No, I don't mind at all.
Persephone gave a small laugh and stepped away from Hades' warmth. I have to get back to work, she said, meeting Lexa at the door of Hades' office. She turned to look at him. He was power, standing behind that desk, silhouetted by that beautiful glass. I'll see you tonight. He nodded once. As they returned to the first floor, Lexa said,
I know you'll go to the underworld on Friday for the weekend, but don't forget we're helping Sybil move Friday.
Wouldn't miss it for the world, she said. The two hugged at the door. Thanks for everything, Lex. I'm sorry you couldn't give me the tour yourself.
I won't lie. It was weird seeing people fall all over themselves in your presence.
The two laughed together at that. It was strange, even to Persephone. But then Lexa said something that made Persephone's blood run cold.
Imagine when they find out you're a goddess.
Persephone walked back to the Acropolis. This time, she begrudgingly made her way to the entrance between screaming fans who were kept at bay by a makeshift barrier security had put in place.
Persephone! Persephone, look over here!
How long have you been dating Hades?
Will you write about other gods?
She kept her head down and didn't answer any questions. By the time she made it inside, her body was vibrating. Her magic awakened from the surge of anxiety she'd felt being at the center of the crowd. She made a beeline for the elevators, all the while thinking about Lexa's last words before they'd parted at Alexandria Tower.
Imagine when they find out you're a goddess.
She knew what that really meant. Imagine when you can no longer exist as you once did. Suddenly, the elevator seemed too small, and just when she thought she couldn't take another breath, the doors opened. Helen popped up from behind her desk, smiling, oblivious to Persephone's internal battle.
Welcome back, Persephone.
Thanks, Helen, she said, without much of a look in her direction. Despite this, Helen followed Persephone to her desk. As she stored her things, she found a white rose sitting on her laptop. Persephone picked it up, careful to avoid the thorns. Where did this come from? She asked.
I don't know, Helen said, frowning. I didn't accept anything for you this morning.
Persephone's brows knitted together. A red ribbon was tied around the stem, but there was no card attached. Maybe Hades had left it for her, she reasoned, and set it aside. Do I have any messages? Persephone assumed that was why Helen had escorted her back to her desk.
No, Helen said.
That was unlikely. Persephone waited.
They can wait, Helen added. Besides, they're all leads for other stories, and I know you're working on that exclusive.
Persephone's eyes must have flashed, because Helen stopped speaking. How do you know about that? Persephone's mood dampened. She'd never seen Helen stumble over her words before, but all of a sudden the girl couldn't speak, and she looked close to tears. Who else knows? Persephone asked.
No one, Helen finally managed. I overheard. I'm sorry. I thought it was exciting. I didn't realize.
If you overheard, you'd know it wasn't exciting. Not for me. There was silence, and Persephone looked at Helen.
I'm sorry, Persephone.
She sighed and sat in her chair. It's okay, Helen. Just don't tell anyone, okay? It might not happen. She hoped. Helen looked panicked. So she had heard a lot more than she was letting on.
But you'll be fired, she whispered fiercely.
Persephone sighed. Helen, I really need to get to work, and I think you do too. Helen paled.
Of course, I'm so—
Stop apologizing, Helen, Persephone said, and then added as gently as she could, you didn't do anything wrong. The blonde smiled.
I hope things get better, Persephone. I really do.
After Helen returned to her desk, Persephone started research on Apollo and his many lovers. She realized she'd promised Hades she wouldn't write about the god of music, but that didn't mean she couldn't start a file on him, and there was no lack of information, especially from antiquity. Almost all the stories about Apollo and his relationships ended tragically for the other person involved. Of all his lovers, there were a few who stood out and illustrated his heinous behavior, in particular the stories of Daphne and Cassandra. Daphne was a nymph and swore to remain pure her whole life. Despite this, Apollo pursued her relentlessly, declaring his love for her as if that might sway her to change her mind. Left with no other options and fearing Apollo, she asked her father, the river god Peneus, to free her from Apollo's relentless pursuit. Her father granted her request and turned her into a laurel tree. Laurel was one of Apollo's symbols, and now Persephone realized why. Gross. Cassandra, a princess of Troy, was given the power to see the future by Apollo, who hoped the gift would persuade her to fall in love with him, but Cassandra wasn't interested. Enraged, Apollo cursed her, allowing her to retain the power to see the future, but making it so that no one would believe her predictions. Later, Cassandra would foresee the fall of her people, but no one would listen. There were other ancient lovers: Coronis, Okirui, Sinope, Amphissa, Coronis, and Sibylla. And newer modern lovers: Acacia, Chara, Io, Lamia, Tessa, and Zeta. The research wasn't